Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome all of you that are visiting with us today. We're delighted that you are here in the congregation with us, and we want you to come back and be with us every opportunity that you have. What a joy it is to serve the Lord with such a good people. I've thought so many times and prayed so many times for the church here at O'Neill. So grateful we have men and women, boys and girls, so dedicated to serving the Lord. You're wanting to do what's right. Many times we have to cry on one another and we weep with each other. And then the times of rejoicing, what a glorious thing it is to rejoice. And no wonder in Philippians 4, verse 4, Paul told those Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. And today we're studying about the family. Families of God. People who make up family. People who are dedicated to serving in the family, the wonderful Creator that has made us and given us all the blessings that we have. In the very last part of the reading that Chris read for us, as for me and my house, what will we do? We will serve the Lord. I want for us to meditate, think about those words. As for me and my house, Joshua, look where he came from. Moses had died. In Joshua chapter 1, the Bible says that God chose Joshua. God told Joshua, don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right, do exactly what I tell you. And if you'll do that, you will be successful. I'll crown your life with success. I'll be pleased and you'll be blessed. What more could a man want? He did make one mistake. Many times fathers make mistakes. Mothers make mistakes. Children make mistakes. Joshua made a mistake. He has failed to ask counsel at the mouth of the Lord with regards to Ai. That was all corrected. And now Joshua's an old man. Joshua's leaving. And verse 14 of Joshua 24. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. Who's speaking? The dad. The father. What's he telling his children? He's telling his children, I want you to fear the Lord. I want you to serve the Lord. All of us fathers surely would want to tell our children the same thing. Fear God. Just like in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. Now let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Whether it be good or whether it be evil. You want your children to do what? Just like Joshua. Fear the Lord. And you want to tell your children before you leave. And especially in the case where Joshua now is soon to die. And he said, I want you folks to serve him. And I want you to be sincere and serve him in truth. Isn't that what we want? We want our children to be sincere. We want them to serve God. We want them to worship in spirit and in truth. Just like Jesus said in John 4, 23 and 24, the hour cometh and now is. When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such as the Father seek to worship Him. God is the Spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Joshua, what do you say? Joshua is saying to his children, to his family, I want you to fear God. I want you to serve Him. I want you to be sincere. I want you to walk in truth. And then, God says then, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And now then, as he makes an application to the children of God, don't serve idols is what he's saying. I hope I'll tell my children that. I hope I'll tell my grandchildren that. I want my great-grandchildren to serve God. I don't want them to serve idols. I don't want them to worship an idol. I want them to worship God. I want them to serve God and serve the Lord. And now notice what he says. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, you children of Israel, you choose this day whom you will serve. That's your choice. I can't live Tim's life for him or Tabitha's life for her, but I can sure do everything I possibly can to encourage them to live right, for them to serve the Lord right. Oh, you've just got some wonderful mothers and fathers and husbands and wives and children at O'Neill. We are so richly blessed with abundance of children and people that are God-fearing people. And we want to do that for the next generation. We want them to always do what? To serve the Lord. And notice what he's saying to the children of Israel. Choose you this day whom you will serve. They have to make that choice. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But I want to tell you, as for me, and as I've told my children, as for me and my house, my family, we will serve the Lord, let me tell you. How can I tell Tim and Tabitha and my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren to follow and serve the Lord in sincerity and truth if I don't do it? If I don't set the example, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You, they're looking at. They're looking at us. What kind of example are we setting before them? And the Bible tells us so many times how important families are. There are about five things I want to suggest to you this morning concerning our lesson about the family. First of all, make a decision. Make a decision. A decision to do what? I'm going to serve the Lord, like Joshua did. As for me and my house, the decision is made. I've already made it, Joshua said. As for me and my house, if nobody else does, if you choose not to, God will be able to count on me and my family because we love God and we want to serve Him. In Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first, and you'll never do that until you get completely converted to Jesus. Well, I won't either. He says what? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these other things shall be added unto you. Don't set it an example before your children. Don't say that you want your children to be faithful to God and you're not even faithful. And if I'm not even faithful, how can I tell my own children, the ones I love so much, that I want to go to heaven? You just put God first, and they see Daddy and Grandpa and Great-Grandpa putting everything in the world before the Lord. These Israelites had seen a man. His name was Joshua. This man, Joshua, was a man that really believed in God. He was the man that had taken Moses' place to lead the children of Israel. And he'd proven to them he was on the Lord's side. And he wanted them to be on the Lord's side. Make a decision. A decision. That what you're going to do is like the Bible says that Joshua told his people. You know, as for me and my house, we've made up our minds. We can be the people that are going to be counted on because we've decided to follow Jesus. I love that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. It breaks my heart when some of us fail to attend worship when we can be there. What are we really saying? Something else is more important than the worship of our God? How could that be? Early disciples in Acts 20:7 came together upon the first day of the week Are you here on the first day of the week or somewhere with disciples of the Lord and you wouldn't miss it for anything? You could possibly be there. I can go with you right now this morning. I can sit down in the nursing home and in the rehabs, different places where people would give almost anything if they could be in service to the Lord. And let's do that first. God, we're yours. Use us, God. We want to do like Joshua. We made a decision. And our decision is, we're going to worship you, the true and the living God. And we're going to show our families that we really mean business. Because you see, the time will come when the family will be parted. Yes, in Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Just like Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Matthew 16:24. Number one, make a decision. I hope it's a decision like Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Number two, do what God says. This book is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway according to Psalms 119. What is? No wonder. And why would not more people read it and study it? And listen to what God said to this man, Joshua, as he's starting out. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." Whoa, it's got to be in the mouth before it can depart out of the mouth. He's got to be a consultant of the law of God before he can tell his children what the law of God is. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein." Sometime? No. God said, do it day and night. Why? Not a step will I take without Jesus, we sung this morning. Don't take a step without him. But here's how we learn what we are to do. And our children are seeing us. And I hope they're seeing you at night or at the dinner table or wherever it is. You've got this book open and you're reading it and you're talking about it with your children. And God said to Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, all the time, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." Yesterday there were demonstrations throughout the world. And oh, how I wish I could have stood up and say, let's just read what this book says. Women, love, appreciate, thankful. Women who are championed for abortion, killing little babies. Let's read the book of God. Will we listen to what God says in His Word? Friend, how can you say that love triumphs over hate when you're demonstrating hate? Children see parents sometimes doing things and saying things that's not in this book. What is going to happen to those kids, those children? Thank God we have women here and men who believe this book and will talk to their children about this book. And when it comes to the issues of life with regards to homosexuality and all those other issues that we're facing today, you just say, let's read the book. Let's meditate upon the book. What does the book of God say? God said, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. And when you read it, what is he saying? Do what it tells you to do. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God is saying to Joshua, who's going to lead the children of Israel, I want you to do one thing, and that is to be always remember my law. You meditate on it day and night. You think about it. You consult it. Don't turn away from it in any way. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. And when it comes down to the problems that we have in families, the answer is found right here. It's in the book of God. Let me give you an illustration. Husbands are taught to love their wives. How do we know that? Well, we can read it in Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What? Husbands, this is what God says. Don't love somebody else's wife. Don't love some other woman. Husbands, you love your own wife. You can read it. That's what it says. Wives, in Ephesians 5, verse 22, wives, be in subjection to your husbands. Why? God's put you in that position. How do you know it? Here's what it says. God said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, through the inspired apostle Paul, Paul writing, he says, God is over Christ. Christ is over man. Man is over woman. Where do you read that? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 through 5. Do you believe it? Will we make a decision and say what we're going to do is solve our problems? We're going to let the Lord solve the problems. Here it is, what it says. I know you've heard the story of the woman that was telling that in her Bible it does not say that you have to be baptized. And someone said, well, read Mark 16, 15 and 16. What does it say? And they read it to her. She's not in my Bible. Why? She'd cut it out. Huh? Friends, I'm asking you, are we going to just pretend like it's not here? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We'll respect God. We'll respect Jesus, and Christ always came to do the will of God. He didn't come to do His will. Well, on that cross when He was praying, Father. And even before the cross, He prayed. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Am I wrong? How do we know that? Because the Bible says that's exactly what Jesus said. Do what God says. Problems will be solved. Children, obey your parents. Not parents, obey your children. Oh, we have children, they have the rights. There are certain rights. But the position that they hold is never changed. Children, parents are over you. Then he says to the fathers, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't you be guilty of that. But bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Number three, it's time for husbands and wives and mothers and fathers and everyone to be kind to each other. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How many times have I talked to people who haven't forgiven others, who had sinned against them that hurt them, but they would not forgive them? And this book says you can't be forgiven if you don't forgive those who've sinned against you. Parents, what kind of kindness do you show your children? Harsh, cruel words. Husband speaking harsh, cruel words. Rude. And even sometimes abusive. Abusive to hurt, cry. How many women cry themselves to sleep because they've been hurt by words that are spoken by someone that's supposed to be the one that loves them, cares for them. And it's worked both ways with children and all. I was in a situation one time when I don't believe those children could have pleased their parents no matter what they did. Well, I know myself, when my boy got about 15 and 16, did you know what? He worked over here at Parkway City Mall. He worked in the Carmel Corn place, made a few dollars, and he came to me one day and he said, "Dad," he said, "you know what I'd like to buy?" And I said, "Tim, what would you like to buy?" "Son," he said, "I want to buy a Kiss record." I said, "Kiss who? Bless your heart, what's a Kiss record?" I didn't know very much about it. Started investigating, and he came back to me, and I said, "No, you can't buy that record. No way you can buy that record." And then one of the brethren came around to me, and they said, "You're being too hard on Tim. That's just, it'll just pass." Of course, today is nowhere near anything like it is, you know, compared to, then was never compared to anything that we have today. But anyway, so I finally scratched my head, and I don't know, Matt Taylor, finally to him, I said, "Well, if you buy it, you're going to buy it with your own money and you play it in your room." He bought it. 6 months later, he was ready to find something else. And boy, I was sure thankful I'd gotten that advice from somebody about that. Shirley, bless your heart. These kids, we have to try, I guess, do the best we can to do everything and listen to them. Your children are only going to be with you for a little while. I'm telling you, I'm standing up here before everybody in this group telling you, I know that to be a fact. Matt Burns, it won't be any time until those kids will be up. He doesn't have to worry about losing his hair. So, but anyway, they won't do that to you. But I tell you, folks, I go back and I look and I think of all the mistakes that I made with regards to my children. And I'm ashamed. I wish I'd changed my disposition toward them, doing everything I can to show them now how much I appreciate them. When I was in college, one of the professors told us that he had 10 rules that before every year he was having children, and if you follow those 10 rules, Dr. Forrester said, "I guarantee you, your children will grow up and they'll be good children. They won't do this and won't do that." So he said he and his wife, when they got married, said they had a child. In a couple of years, he said he crossed off four of those things he had told others. After the third child, he crossed them all off. Because you have to deal with children, each one of them, individually, don't you? I want to say to you this morning, someone that loves you, hold that little baby. Hold. Look at these sweet ones. But they're not going to be... Look at that pretty little girl. We've got so many. Hold them. Be thankful for them. Because before you know it, they'll be walking. Before you know it, they'll be outside saying to you, "When can I get a car?" And before you know it, they'll be in college. And guess what? Before you know it, they'll be gone from your home. I'm saying to you, I hope that they can remember a family who truly, even though there were problems, they were kind to each other and they sought to walk those problems out. They saw a daddy, saw a mother that showed them they really love them. Pray for them. And pray for wisdom. I've already been asked to have a whole sermon on prayer. I will do that if the Lord wills. Wisdom. In James 1 verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continued therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And that's what we need. Ask God to give us wisdom that we may pass good judgment and that judgment being based upon truth. In John 8, verse 32, Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In John 17, 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth." Thy truth, the Word of God, is God's Word. In Proverbs 23:23, "Buy the truth and sell it not, get truth. And ask God for wisdom as you seek to apply that truth in its application." And number five, and finally, be forgiving. Because you see, you have to ask for forgiveness. Colossians 3, verse 13, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." I want to think with you just quickly about people that have forgiven others. They're spoken of in the Bible. Joseph's brothers hated him. Why? Because his daddy loved him so much. But whenever finally that was all over and the brothers had been reunited, in the book of Genesis chapter 50, and Jacob, their dad, is now dead. And the Bible says the sons think, "Now may Joseph will change his attitude toward them." And I am paraphrasing. And what happens? They come to Joseph and they said their daddy had told them to tell Joseph why he should be kind and good to them. And one of the men that forgave so beautifully that we can remember, and that's Joseph, he said, "Am I in the place of God?" No, God meant this. He's worked this all out. I'll take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. Case number one, forgiveness. Number two, there was a man that had two sons. And one of those sons came to his daddy and he said, "Give me my inheritance that I might have my inheritance." And his father gave it to him. And the prodigal son, he went off, as we find in the book of Luke, as the Bible tells us. He went into a far country and he spent it all. He didn't have anything. And finally came to himself and he said, "I know what I will do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to my daddy, my home, my father, and I'm going to admit that I was wrong, that I was a sinner." And on his way there, you remember his father was looking down the road and his son came up and he saw his son. And what did the father do? He ran. He grabbed his boy. And before the son could even admit that he was, which he did later, he hugged him. I love that story. Because that's what God's done to me sometimes. It's what He's done to you. When we misbehave, when we sin, a loving Father is a loving Father that forgives. Case number three. The Master Jesus. He's on the cross. He's been beaten. Look what He's done. He's given His life. But He doesn't forget those people that are even killing Him. And one of the most magnificent statements found in the Bible is when the Bible says that Jesus lifts up His eyes to heaven and He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The Son of God being killed, murdered, is praying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's true forgiveness. Yes, As for me and my house. Won't you say it too, as for me and my house? We're going to serve the Lord from this day forward. We're going to do His will. And in our bulletin day, Matt does such a good job with the bulletin. Matt Taylor put on the very front page, the little chap who follows me. A careful man I ought to be, a little fellow follows me. I do not dare to go astray for fear he'll go the same way. I must not madly step aside where pleasure's paths are smooth and wide. Don't go that way, is what he's saying. And join in wine's red reverie. Why, a little fella follows me, and you don't want him to do that. I cannot once escape his eyes. Whatever he sees me do, he tries. Like me, he says, he's going to be the little chap who follows me. He thinks that I am good and fine, believes in every word of mine. The base in me he must not see. The little chap who follows me, I must remember as I go through summer sun and winter snow, I'm building for the years to be in that little chap who follows me. How about you? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you're not a Christian, obey the gospel. Don't you want your children to be a Christian? Won't you believe in Christ? Won't you repent of your sins, confess His name, and be baptized? And if you're a child of God and you haven't lived right, do something about it. Ask God to forgive you and help you. And just remember, when this old man Joshua, before he dies, speaks, he makes the affirmation, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you're subject to his invitation, won't you obey him altogether? We stand and watch.